Please, for our second reading to the 20th chapter of 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. And the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my two wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold. And I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he sent unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, or let him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, and even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men, the princes of the provinces, went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one, his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys.' Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left, and Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, "Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life." So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, "Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, 'I pray thee, let me live.' And he said, 'Is he yet alive? He is my brother.' Now the men diligently observed whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, 'Thy brother, Ben-Hadad.' Then he said, 'Go ye, bring him.' Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, 'The cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria.' Then said Ahab, 'I will send thee away with this covenant.' So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, 'Smite me, I pray thee.' And the man refused to smite him. And he said unto him, 'Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee.' And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, 'Smite me, I pray thee.' And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, 'Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, "Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, "So shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it." And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, like I said, two long chapters, so let's briefly say a few pertinent things about this chapter. In the first section, we have verses 1 through 11. We see the Lord's kindness to Ahab in that he will send him some affliction and the opportunity in the later portion of this chapter to rest in the Lord, the true God. Ben-Hadad first places Ahab under tribute, and he says, "Give me your wives." I'm assuming that he has numerous wives, Jezebel being one of the names that we know, but that Jezebel was not sent away. I'm assuming that. I don't know it for sure, but that's what I would assume, that he sent other wives. And notice who he's supposed to send away: wives and children, and then gold and silver. Well, Ben-Hadad is a good negotiator. He realizes that Ahab gave up too easily, right? You know that in negotiations, that if you say, I want that, the guy says, okay. Well, that you haven't yet reached the quick. You haven't yet drilled down to where he's going to lose something important to him, right? And so Ben-Hadad says, okay, so I'll send my servants back, and they'll walk through your house, and they'll choose whatever is precious in your eyes. And the implication is what you've already given up wasn't very precious in your eyes. You gave up your wives, you gave up your children. Not very precious in your eyes. Ahab only gave up things that he felt like, I can do without. Right? And so Ahab calls then all the elders of the people to him, and he says, I think he means to do us mischief. Well, that's a no-brainer. That's obviously true. So Ahab says, and the implication is, if we give him this, there's going to be no end to it. He's going to ask for everything, and he's going to come and take our kingdom away from us. That's what is really being said here. And so they say, you must resist him, you must tell him no. Well, and then there's this bravado that takes place between Ahab and Ben-Hadad. The gods do so and more to me if the dust of Samaria will suffice to fill up the hands of the people that I send, right? In other words, there's going to be nothing of Samaria left, not even dust. And Ahab says, oh, let not him who puts on his harness boast as if he's taking it off, right? Putting on a harness, that is putting on a burden, right? You're actually putting on a burden here. This fight you may not be able to finish, so don't talk like you're putting off a burden. Well, that just inflames everyone, right? So we learn about harsh words there instead of suing for peace. And so Ben-Hadad sends his forces, but notice the kindness of God to Ahab yet again. Now he sends him a prophet, and he says to him, you're going to conquer the Syrians today, and I want you to root them out. Okay, Ahab says, how am I going to do this? Well, it's not by the elders. It's by the lords, the princes, the 232 princes that you know of, and an army that follows them of 7,000. Do you remember that number? 7,000? I have 7,000 men that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. You remember that? So these princes, not the elders, who are with Ahab and everything he wants to do, but the princes, and the assumption here is that these princes are followers of the true God, these 232. So it's not yet a nation wholly given over to apostasy. And then there are 7,000 that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. They gather together, 7,232 men, and they're going to defend Samaria from all of Ben-Hadad's forces. They are faithful Jehovah-worshipping. And so we know the story here. They come out, they are defeated, and Ben-Hadad and his people flee. Notice Ben-Hadad that he was much too confident. He put kings in charge of his army, right? 32 of them. He put kings in charge of his army. Why would he put kings in charge of his army? Why would kings be there with him? Well, what did Ben-Hadad say when he was drinking himself drunk? Whether they come out for war or whether they come out for peace, take them alive. I'm all about amassing forces here. Well, he'd already done that with all of those kings. He made them a part of his army and he put them in charge. Well, they lost, and they lost big. So then, a little bit later in the year, there's a second battle, and this time they come to Ben-Hadad and they say what? They say, don't put kings in charge, put captains in charge, right? We underestimated them the last time. We thought kings would be sufficient. Use captains, use hardened warriors instead. And then also duplicate the army, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, man for man. And, their God, he's the God of the hills. But our God, he's the God of the plains, and we'll defeat them in that. And so, once again, the Lord sends a prophet to Ahab, showing him kindness. I mean, he sent him two prophets and 7,232 faithful men. That is great kindness. And the Lord says, it's not for your sake, it's for my name's sake, because they've said that I don't know how to do battle in the plains. And so again, they come out, they wait 7 days, the battle is joined. I'm assuming it's the same 7,232 men. And 100,000 of Ben-Hadad's footmen are killed. They flee into Aphek, into the city. 27,000 more of them are killed. They're crushed under the wall. Remember Jericho? The Lord is reminding Ahab of Jericho here. And then what happens? Ben-Hadad goes into an inner chamber in the city to protect himself, and his advisors tell him, you know, the kings of Israel, they're merciful kings. Now, that's a good reputation to have, but I think that they were just trying to encourage themselves. And so what happens, they put ropes on their heads. By the way, ropes on their heads, I think what that means is they put a rope around their neck, you know, on their heads like this. And so they dressed in sackcloth, they put ropes around their necks, and they came to the king of Israel, and they said, we'll be your servants, thy brother Ben-Hadad. And of course, Ahab sinfully calls Ben-Hadad his brother. He's not his brother. They're not related. He's an idolater. If they are brothers at all, they are brothers in idolatry, right? And so he brings Ben-Hadad to himself. He comes up into the chariot, and they make a deal. They strike hands. They make a covenant. Ben-Hadad goes to his house in peace. And then we have the final section, which is an unusual illustration. We have the prophet that meets Ahab in the way. In the first instance, he told a man, by the word of the Lord, strike me, and he refused to do it. And said, okay, when you go out, a lion will tear you, and it did. Why is that there? It seems completely out of context, doesn't it? No, it's not out of context at all. We're learning about God's kindness to Ahab, because what Ahab deserved was to be slain because he disobeyed a direct order from the Lord given to him by the prophet. And that direct order was to take care of Ben-Hadad. Who comes after Ben-Hadad? Do you remember? His name is Hazael. Do you remember what the Lord told Elijah in the last chapter? You're going to anoint Hazael king over Syria. Ben-Hadad is, can I say it this way? He's got an expiration date on him. The Lord has already prepared his successor. And Ahab is the one by God's appointment, not by his decree. His decree is something different, but by God's appointment, by his command, is the one that's supposed to take care of that. He's risen up against Israel. He's blasphemed the God of heaven. It's time for him to go. Ahab doesn't take that seriously. He should have taken it seriously, like the man should have taken seriously the prophet's command to him to strike him. That's why that's there, so that we'll understand that. So then, what happens next is he's stricken by a second man, so that he appears to have been someone that's in the battle, and he's got ashes on his face. Ahab doesn't recognize him as one of the prophets, and he tells Ahab a little story about he was supposed to take care of a man, he was supposed to keep him, and something happened, and he let him go, and now I have to pay silver for that. And Ahab, so that came out of your own mouth. You have to do that. And so Ahab has simply indicted himself. You were supposed to take care of Ben-Hadad, and you have not. And so the final threat is what? I appointed utter destruction. Therefore, thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. So that's the end of the chapter. Let's stand and continue praising God.